Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. Hope you're having a good day so far. Excited to continue the football conversation with our man Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN and also the head coach at Ensworth. Tim, how you doing?
Doing great. How you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. Before we get into the supplemental draft and how all that works, when you look at Brendan Sorsby as a NFL prospect, what do you see?
Yeah, I think physically he would stack up really well with guys that have ended up as first-round draft picks, especially in recent years. And I also think that, when you look at the production at the college level, will come across as impressive, and so I think the film will be favorable. But I also think, the off-the-field concern thing will be legitimate, which is a gambling addiction is concerning for somebody, especially if you're talking about a high-round draft pick that, was not a position player, was a quarterback that is, presumably going to be drafted relatively high because there's hopes of him being a franchise type player. So, I think if you just kind of away from it all, going through the normal draft process, I think he would have a good chance to be a first round draft pick.
Okay. So you mentioned the gambling stuff because I agree with you. I think there are going to be teams interested. There should be teams interested. I mean, the talent is there. I mean, I look at like the Jets, the Steelers, the Vikings, the Cardinals. I mean, there are these teams that could use a quarterback, especially in a situation where they could bring him in, a year early and let him sit. But how much do you think that is going to hurt him in this process, and how much of the due diligence do you think there will be by the teams to make sure that, the risk is as low as possible?
I think it's going to be significant, and not just because of the concern about gambling addiction, but also because it's a truncated evaluation process now. Like, we just go through it every spring, or really, winter, like talking about it with you guys, and, there'll be this guy that's this great prospect, and then he just gets beat up in the evaluation process. It happens to everybody that goes through it. Like, it's an unfriendly evaluation of a prospect when you go through it. It's because it's long and it's exhaustive. And so when you now shorten it, I think what's going to happen for many teams is they're going to be like, we can't go through our normal protocols of how we evaluate a guy. We're not going to be able to spend the same amount of time. We're not going to be able to uncover as much information, talk to as many people as we want to about who is he really? What kind of guy is he? What's he like in the room? What kind of teammate is he? All of those different things. And we're also not going to get him in April with the season that starts in September. We're going to get him much later. And so now, the idea that a quarterback would be ready for the season, when you don't have the evaluation process because it's shortened, and you don't have the number of OTAs and main camps and all that stuff to work with them, I think that will give some pause to how early of a pick a team would like to use on him.
Okay, so what team stands out that you think could be a good fit?
Yeah, you named a couple of them. If you're the Cardinals, I don't know how you're not interested. If you're a team like the Steelers, I don't know how you're not interested. Look, I think the Browns are a team that, even though it would mean they would probably be cutting a third-round draft pick by doing it, the Browns are a team that I think, you know, would be involved in it. The Jets certainly are. So, you know, there's not a shortage of teams to think that, you know, they would be interested. And I think there are even some other teams that, you know, as I mentioned, those teams, I think it's like, okay, like the pick could be substantially higher if you were talking about those teams. But what about a team like the Carolina Panthers? Like, if you're the Carolina Panthers and you go like, yeah, supplemental draft, sixth round pick for him. Like, we have our starter this year. Like, I don't hate that idea for a team like the Carolina Panthers. So, because I think that while they may or may not have the quarterback of the future, they, you know, it's clear that there's maybe a limit to him physically. And, you know, you may have contract situations coming up with him in the future that, you know, you might want to, you know, kind of, you know, protect yourself against. And so I think there'll be a number of teams that, even with the off-the-field stuff, you know, the gambling addiction stuff, that are willing to use a pick, now depending on the round, willing to use a pick on him. So, look, I don't think it'll be as high as a third-round draft pick. I've heard some people say they think it could be a third-round pick. To me, rounds 4 through 7 would make sense for a lot of teams.
Yeah, we absolutely agree. Fifth, sixth, fine right there. That's what you're giving up. Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, the concern we hear from Titans camp is on Cam Ward. It's wherever you read, like, he's had the worst day of any quarterback that's ever lived. And other days, it's like, nah, he's okay. How much of a concern is it now in June that he's not looking crisp and sharp, or is it not a concern at all?
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal this time of year. Brand new offense, new receivers, and you know, you don't always know what exactly is being worked on and if everyone's doing the right thing. You know, like, that's the reality of it. And so, you know, without knowing, hey, everybody ran a perfectly detailed route and the quarterback's just been bad, other than just knowing that from the coaches, I think it's way too early to have some type of feeling on whether or not, you know, Cam Ward's going to struggle in this new offense that he's at.
Well, I told Chase earlier, look, a 10-yard down and out, whether it's Mike Vrabel, Brian Callahan, or Robert Saleh, doesn't matter. If you can't complete a 10-yard down and out, then there's a problem, right? If you keep repeatedly screwing that pass up, right?
Yeah, it is. But, like, it's a conversation I had at Ensworth yesterday. You know, we graduated, you know, we were basically like four of our top receivers from a year ago and plus our tight end have all moved on. Okay. And so that means there are five eligible receivers, you know, that, you know, in certain personnel groupings that are going to be brand new. And we practiced like it the other day. It was just like, look, I don't care if we had Cam Ward, if we have receivers that are not running the right route or running bad routes, then you're not going to have a chance at quarterback, right?
Yes. And
so, like, I don't care if it's Pop Warner, high school, or the pros. That's the reality of it. And so that's why I'm saying this time of year, putting in a new offense with new players, and if the quarterback is struggling, like, I would need to know, yeah, everyone else has got it dialed in. It's just the quarterback struggling. Because typically what happens when something's new, you know, a coach hasn't coached every detail of it yet, so a guy's split might be off, or his route depth might be off, or his adjustment versus its coverage might be off, because you just haven't had time on task to coach it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have new people, it's like, well, did he do it the right way? He's new. And then, you know, and then did the quarterback do it the right way? So my guess is, you know, if there's a 14-play period and Cam Ward got 8 of the reps and 4 of them were really bad, it probably one could be chalked up to coaching, one could be chalked up to the quarterback, and 2 could probably be chalked up to, you know, a route runner not doing the right thing. That's just generally my experience. You know, it's never – hey, everyone else has got things dialed in, and it's just this one guy is ruining it all.
Noted on that. By the way, I was with Derek Day this weekend. He said to tell you hi.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's
he said
good.
To tell you hi. He loves coming to see you. And with that, I have a question off of that.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier about Robert Saleh. They asked about Cam Moore. He's like, hey, Cam's doing great. You know, he's going through this progression, blah, 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 blah. And it's probably not – Robert Saleh's not going to get up there and say, look, Cam Ward's terrible today, and it's bad, blah, blah, blah. How honest are you, not at the same level, when guys come to scout your guys? How honest do you have to be, Tim? And I don't mean to put you on the spot, but how honest you need to be with the recruiter, the way he's not coming back 2 years saying, hey, this guy you told me about, he can't, you know, he can't do anything right. How honest do you have to be?
No, we're honest about our experience. You know, we're honest about our heights and weights and measurements and things like that. And so, and look, we do that because it's the best thing for the kid. You want the kids to, you know, end up at the level that they should end up at. You want the kids to be able to succeed when they get there. And so, look, we're honest. You know, one of the things I think, like at Ensworth, and in my 2 years, you know, I've been, you know, I guess 2.5 years now, we've had 20 kids that wanted to go play college football over the last 2 years. All 20 are playing college football.
Nice.
You know? And so, like, there's a place, you know, for guys. And certainly playing at a place like Ensworth, guys will, you know, coaches come and recruit our school. And that's an important part of the process. But, like, you know, I also feel good about, you know, the notion that, like, if I think back to, you know, the 2025 class, you know, we had guys that, like, look, I was really honest about in terms of how I felt about him as a player. And some of that is, hey, you guys are missing on this kid. And sure enough, you know, we sent a kid to TSU. His name is Brandon Collins. And I told a lot of people how incredible he was. And people were like, ah, I'm not sure, he's not the tallest guy. Well, sure enough, he was a starter as a freshman at TSU coming out of our program. So, listen, it's important to be honest. It's important to, you know, for coaches to do their work. And, you know, and listen, you know, sometimes there's beauty in the eye of the beholder. But, yeah, I think, you know, sometimes it's pretty obvious as well.
I don't know if you ever saw the documentary with Bill Belichick and Nick Saban where they talked about when like, they would go look at players or talk to players and they would say, are you an and or a but guy? And I'm like, what? And it meant, if they're talking about Tim Housemake, hey, Tim Housemake, and he does this, they were like, we knew that guy's going to be good. But if it's the but, like, hey, Tim Housemake, but always it would. So they were saying always be the and guy, right? Go above and beyond.
Yeah. Hey, be the and guy. Like one of our coaches said the other day, find a way, not an excuse. You know, like you're looking for a way to opt in or opt out. And like this kind of like – this touches that Sorsby situation in the evaluation process.
Right.
Right? Like, those are the things you're trying to figure out. Like, you know, like, look, you can go to one workout and be like, yep, the guy is really talented and he can throw the football. And you can turn on a tape and be like, man, he's got pretty good film here. But what you're trying to also find out is, okay, is this the guy, like when things get hard and there's going to be adversity playing quarterback in the NFL, is he the right guy? Is he going to lead the rest of the group? And, you know, I think that's one of the things in this process, you know, whether it's the normal process or whether it's the supplemental draft process that, you know, is key. And I think in some ways will end up being, you know, probably a little bit unfriendly to Sorsby.
We'll have more with Tim Hasselbeck coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, continuing with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and the head coach at Ensworth. Tim, you know, one thing that we've talked about with the Titans is shifting from a 3-4 base defense to a 4-3 base defense. Is that something that can easily be accomplished in one offseason, or could we see some growing pains into the season?
You know, I don't think that there's necessarily going to be growing pains, you know, into the season. I think most teams, you know, have, you know, like multiple fronts, right? And, you know, oftentimes it's your base four down, and your three down when you are in your sub packages and third down stuff. And I think ultimately, you know, that's what everybody deals with. And then what happens is, like, you get into a season And then you end up having injuries. You end up maybe doing a better job with certain packages or feeling like certain packages, you know, end up giving you a better matchup advantage. And, you know, those things happen. And, you know, now all of a sudden maybe you thought you'd be more of a four down team and you end up being more of a three down team. So, like, I think it's something that every team kind of manages and deals with. You know, the bigger, you know, part of the, you know, situation is more just like, can you be multiple? You know, can you do that? Because it just makes you harder to prepare for. So not to say that there won't be adjustments, but I do think it's something that every team deals with. And I think that, you know, other than massive personnel changeovers, you know, it's something that, you know, I think everyone, you know, usually handles fairly well.
Something that I, you know, obviously a lot of people have been focused on the offense and Brian Daboll coming in as the offensive coordinator and all of that. But I think a sneaky good hire this team made was Gus Bradley to be the defensive coordinator. I know Saleh's probably going to call the defense, but what do you think Bradley can bring to that side of the ball that can help them grow, especially since they've added a ton of veterans?
Yeah, I think that listen, another set of eyes. There's a lot of responsibility as a head coach. And so whether it's installation or a new idea or a wrinkle or honestly just the ability to take it over if, you know, certain head coach responsibilities, you know, end up getting in the way of things that Saleh would want to do defensively. So, I think that's why it's always good, especially like, and not that Saleh's a first-time head coach, he's certainly not, but, you know, the idea that you have other experienced coaches on the staff, whether it's as an offensive defensive play caller, or whether it's head coaching experience, because you can't always forecast, you know, what happens. And, you know, in the process of, you know, you're kind of running into things during the season, or you maybe feel like you need to do things differently, it could change. Like, who knows what happens? The offensive line could be struggling, and, you know, if the offensive line is struggling, you know, Saleh might go, you know what, I'm going to spend more time in the, you know, in the offensive line meeting room just to make sure I get that squared away. Well, when that happens, do you trust who you're handing it off to? And I think in the case of Gus Bradley, you know, most certainly he would.
Tim, a lot of guys understand and they see, like, guys that your guys and other guys in college see how much the NFL is paying wide receivers these days as opposed to defensive backs. Do you have guys who come to you, they're great defensive backs, and say, hey, you know, I want to try this receiver part out? And if so, I mean, how do you balance it? Because I think what we're going to start seeing more of in college are guys like that maybe wanting to play two ways because they know the payday awaits if you're a receiver in the NFL.
Yeah. Look, the way I do it is, listen, these kids are young. There's a lot of development. So everybody on our team, with the exception of, you know, maybe the quarterbacks and the kickers, you know, play on both sides of the football. And that's everybody. And, you know, part of the reason I do it at the high school level is one, you don't know about the kids' development. Two, you know, coaches, when they come to recruit kids, they want to see guys competing, right, on both sides of the football.
Right.
So even if you, like, you could tell, hey, this guy's a good receiver, you know, seeing him make a tackle and know that he'll be physical, like, that's good and part of, in terms of the evaluation process of a kid. You know, then you think at the college level, you know, the mental demands are a little bit more, you know, it's less rare than obviously in high school where guys can play both ways, but certainly, you know, there's a value for it, and we've seen guys do it at a high level. And I would take it a step further. I do think that there is the ability for guys at the pro level to do some things. I played with Champ Bailey in Washington. Like, Champ was just so gifted. He would have been an incredible wide receiver. They're like, it just made sense to, you know, to think about using him,
right,
you know, in certain ways on offense. So I don't think it's a terrible idea. I think it's easier to be a full-time defensive player and have a small package on offense than it is to be a full-time offensive player and think that you could just go in and play defense just because you have more control over the situation, you know, as an offensive player.
Interesting. Let me ask you this. I talked to a high school coach last week. I'm not going to name who it is. He has quarterbacks pretty good, went to a college camp, and they told the quarterback, wow, you're doing this all wrong, you need to throw it this way. And it kind of messed his brain up a little bit. What do you tell guys when they go to camp? I mean, is that okay that a college coach tries to correct you when you know your player better than this college coach who only sees him for 6 hours one day?
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you want to go to a camp and do some things, you know, the way they're coaching at the camp, like, that's what you should do. You're at their camp and you're being coached by those coaches. But, like, when you're in, you know, our program or someone else, you know, I think ultimately you know, if you want to play, you better do it the way the coaches that you're
right.
playing for
yeah.
are coaching it. I mean, so that's, you know, that's ultimately how we do it. Look, you know, pretty much every route we run, if you're a wide receiver for us, every route we run is going to be, you know, predicated off of you're running vertical, you're sprinting off the football. So, you know, if you want to go to some, you know, route God, you know, release king, you know,
right.
coach, then, like, that's great. But, like, that's, you know, that's not real football for us. And, you know, you'll struggle. It's no different than, like, you know, how we coach your defensive lineman. You want to go work every spin move and pass rush and things like that. Like, it may not translate. And so I think it's just important to kind of have an understanding of that. And, you know, I think most people do understand that there's a difference.
Did you play baseball growing up?
I did.
And it was about, did you play all the sports, I guess, around the clock? I mean, around the calendar?
Oh, yeah. I mean, football, basketball, baseball. Yeah, just all the time. Mm-hmm.
So you're good, like, when guys baseball, you're, we've talked about this. You're okay with playing multiple.
No, and listen, and I'm good with guys going to camp. Like, we had MTSUs doing some, you know, recruiting type camps. Vandy obviously has them going on, and, you know, and other stuff outside of the state. And, like, yeah, when guys miss for that, like, that's all part of the process. We've got guys, you know, playing travel baseball, and, yeah, we got guys, you know, playing summer golf. Like, you name it, you know, guys are doing it. And guys playing travel lacrosse, all that stuff. That's part of being a teenager. So, I mean this, if you're a parent and your kids are at a program where, you know, the coaches are not, you know, accommodating multi-sport athletes, then they're robbing your child of their youth.
Yeah, I agree. What was your come to Jesus moment about not playing baseball and going to football?
Here's the thing. The calendar was always relatively favorable in Massachusetts, you know, where I grew up. Like, it didn't bleed into things the way, you know, sports can kind of bleed into each other now. So when football started in Massachusetts, baseball season was over. And, you know, maybe you would miss, depending on how good your football team was, you'd maybe miss, you know, the first week of basketball. But then it was basketball season and there was plenty of basketball. So, you know, I was never in a situation where it was like, hey, you better choose one or the other. And, like, I think it made me a better player at all of the sports to be playing the other sports.
Right.
And like, I know that to be true. And I had an interesting conversation with Mac Brown when I was talking to him about Drake May. And he's like, look, the thing I love about Drake May is he's always competing. He goes, you know, these guys that play one sport, they compete in one season.
Yeah.
And so, like, for me, the idea that he's flexing the competition muscle all year round, I just love that. And I think that, you know, I think there's a lot of truth to it.
Chase and I were laughing at a stat the other day. Tom Brady threw a touchdown pass to 98 different receivers. So we do this deep dive of all the receivers, different receivers he threw to. And one was Chris Hogan. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
So Chris Hogan played lacrosse in college. And, like, one, then he transferred to Monmouth and played football there. But there, so I go in a deep dive with Chris Hogan about how well, as a lacrosse player, he was able to run the field, get open, be in shape. And so I'm fascinated by lacrosse players.
Well, I tell you, my nephew, Henry, my brother Matthew's son, he was one of the, I don't know, top 50 lacrosse players in the country.
Wow.
And coming out of high school and was committed to the University of Maryland to play lacrosse, which is, you know, kind of like they're kind of like the marquee program in lacrosse. Well, his football recruiting started to pick up, and their lacrosse coach was like, look, man, if you get a football scholarship offer that you prefer better than playing lacrosse at Maryland, then all you did was prove our recruiting right.
Ooh.
That we were you know, recruiting a high-end athlete. And, you know, the truth is, you know, I'm not sure how, it must be my sister-in-law Sarah's speed. You know, my nephew was the fastest kid at UCLA. You know, he's been clocked at 23 miles per hour.
Wow.
Like, he can really run. And so, you know, you look at Chris Hogan. Look, I don't know his height, weight, measurables, and all that stuff, but like, big, physical, fast receiver, and it makes sense.
Interesting to know that. So is your nephew still at UCLA?
He's now at App State. And so, yeah, I would expect him to play, you know, some at App State, and, you know, I think his athleticism will be evident.
Nice.
That's Dow Loggins, right?
It is?
It is Dow. It is Dow.
Very good. So I know the dead period starts in about a week. What all have you been able to do since school has been out, or have you guys done?
Yeah, so we lift and run, like, you know, most programs this time of year. We do get on the field and do some, you know, on the field work on both sides of the ball. And, we give the kids some time off. It is the summer. It can be a long season. So we get some work in. A lot of it is, you know, review of things we did in the spring. And then when we come back, you know, it'll be pretty quick before, we start, you know, facing some other opponents. So, you know, look, for us, it's really not all that different than, you know, the college and pro schedule. Look, those guys are going to report in July, or, you know, kind of be there through July and be right into it. And, you know, that's what will happen on July 6th once the dead period is over.
Yeah, well, it's going to be here before you know it. That is for sure. Tim, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. See you, fellas.
Thank you. Tim Hasselbeck joining us on the program, ESPN NFL analyst and also head coach at Innsworth.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's chump.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.